right, we'll now call our second case on this morning's docket, Arlington versus SCBC et al. Cause number 217-002-CV. Mr. Fugate, you've checked in, and so has Mr. Williams with your time, and I do have those. So if you all are ready to proceed, Mr. Fugate.
May it please the court, and good morning. This appeal is in a premises liability case, and it presents a single issue. And when I looked at the issue is very simple to state. It's simply whether or not, when this case is tried to a jury, it should be tried as an ordinary defect case or a special defect case. And when I began to dig into that question, it was a little more meatier than I thought it was going to be. This case, this court in Peterson versus the City of Fort Worth and the Texas Supreme Court in a pair of cases from 2010 has stated that this question is a legal question because it is a question of duty and is a question of statutory interpretation. The facts that are relevant to determining whether or not this stormwater inlet was a special defect or an ordinary defect are not disputed. As we've said in the district court before Judge Evans, the City of Arlington acknowledges that the manhole covered, the lid on this manhole, was too small. It was big enough that it wouldn't fall through the hole, but it was not big enough that it would be seated stably on the inlet. And so what happened when pressure was applied to it, it would pivot. And for purposes of this appeal, we're not disputing that the primary plaintiff stepped on it and that she fell and that she was injured.
Do you dispute that it's in close proximity to the road?
I believe the picture itself is the best evidence of that, and we're not disputing at all that it is in close proximity to the road.
And do you acknowledge that the case law suggests that for something to be a special defect, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the roadway itself?
No, I don't acknowledge that. In fact, the Texas Supreme Court has expressly also not acknowledged that. In the county of the Denton County case versus Bainon, which is just in 2009, and this is a quote from the Texas Supreme Court. This court has never squarely confronted whether a hazard located off the road can or can never constitute a special defect. So that specific legal question is an open question in Texas. And also in Bainon, Justice Willett said that he referred to the statute that's at issue, which is 101.022, subsection B, as bright line guidance for this question. And in Bainon, that's interesting because the defect at issue was just 3 feet off the road. In that case, it was a floodgate arm, and the driver swerved off the road, and the arm went into the car and into a child and injured the child. So that was a serious injury. And yet what the court said was the car shouldn't have been off the road. And in this case, when we were talking about this in front of Judge Evans, he made the comment that the purpose of the curb is to keep vehicles in the street. And I believe that applies to any road. In this case, what we see in the photo, there's no sidewalk here. This stormwater inlet is not part of a sidewalk. The city certainly acknowledges that the manhole is in close proximity to the road, but it is also behind the curb line. And when we just look at this, you know, sometimes I've looked at this picture over and over and thought of the Eudora Welty story, A Worn Path. There's no path here. There's no people that are using this. There's no ordinary use of this area in people's front yard as a pathway.
Well, what about the plaintiff's point that I mean, looking at that picture, I can see that if somebody's parking in front of that house, getting out on the passenger side, I guess I'm never going to do it again, but I would assume that you could safely step on a manhole cover.
Well, you know, it's an interesting point, and part of what that goes to is the City of Arlington is not arguing that this case should not be tried. And no matter what this court decides today, this case will be tried. And so it's only a matter of the standard. And so the question really is, what standard is the plaintiff held to? Is this a licensee case or is it an invitee case? Is the plaintiff required? This accident occurred in open daylight. It's unlike the smoker case out of Houston, where that court expressly relied on the fact that it was at night and there was no cover at all on the manhole. And in that case, the manhole was at least partly in the roadway. And so this is different than that. And, you know, another thing, when I looked at these series of cases, it was almost like looking at darts that had been thrown at a dartboard, because we had the smoker case where, you know, we know that that manhole was at least partly in the roadway. And then we have the Modern case, which was also from the Houston 14th Court of Appeals. And what they say in that case was that that manhole, which was similar to this in that it slipped and the person's right leg fell in, just like the plaintiff in this case, that manhole was 5 feet off the road. And then we have the Bishop case, where it wasn't a manhole, but it was a water meter. It was a city property. It was on city property. And the lid was also defective in that case. And we don't know exactly where the water meter lid was, but it was somewhere between the house and the road on city property.
Are you suggesting that we establish some sort of bright line test for how far away something needs to be before it can or cannot be a special defect?
There's two ways to decide this case. One way to decide this case would be to take up this unanswered question that the Texas Supreme Court has announced and say that, yes, there is going to be a bright line rule, which is what Justice Willis has referred to, and that bright line rule would be the edge of the street. And that is one way to decide this case. The other way to decide this case is that the Texas Supreme Court has repeatedly used this standard that would this affect an ordinary user of the roadway. In this case, the plaintiff had stepped out of her vehicle, walked up the driveway toward her house, realized she forgot to lock her car, turned around and walked back from the direction of her house toward the car. So this is not a case where someone stepped out of the vehicle and
but it could have been. I mean, is it more important to you that this particular plaintiff approached the manhole cover from a different direction as opposed to somebody, an ordinary user, a pedestrian in the street that might have to step up on that for
whatever
reason? Yes,
that's the standard, an ordinary user of the roadway. And as the neighbor, Mr. Webb, said, you know, why not just walk around it? And that is also part of the standard that the Texas Supreme Court has applied. In order to be a special defect, it has to block the roadway sufficiently that no one can travel along the roadway. And we've had the case where, you know, there was a ditch across 90% of the roadway. Well, we know that's a special defect because nothing can use that. In this case, the roadway is not blocked, and any pedestrian, I'm not saying that this was a good situation at all, but what I am saying is that it's not a special defect because it doesn't block the majority of the roadway, and anyone could simply walk around it.
Well, but...
All right, go ahead.
But don't the cases also contemplate that there are foreseeable situations where somebody is going to be leaving the roadway and going up over a curb for any number of reasons?
I'm not aware of any case that says that it's foreseeable that someone would drive over a roadway and through a yard. I'm just not aware of that. I don't believe that's not consistent with Bainon.
Okay, so, well, I'm looking at the Andrews case out of Eastland, the 1979 one, where the car went off the road and hit the concrete base mm-hmm. of the light fixture that was in a median.
I'm familiar with that case. The two things, there's also another 1970s case, and the two things that I would say about both of those cases are, first of all, that they were decided before the Texas Supreme Court had really weighed in on the standard, and the first time the Texas Supreme Court had really weighed in may have been 92 in the Payne case. But with regard to that case, it was a 26-inch sign base. It was concrete. And it was also in the median of the road. It wasn't to the side of the road. So we're talking about something that's located in the center of the road. And I believe that would be distinguishable. And also, well.
But you wouldn't expect a car to be driving up onto the median.
I honestly, as a city employee, I don't expect cars to drive on the median. That is not the normal thing.
Right. But yet the court there didn't have any trouble concluding that it was a special defect.
I certainly agree that the court in that case came to that conclusion, yes.
But do you think it would be decided differently today?
I think that's one court that's addressed it. And the other case, it was from the 70s. I'm trying to remember, it may have been a Harris County case also, but it was in that particular case, the road ended, and then 4 feet after the road ended without any warning to drivers, there was a 6-foot drop-off. And that is an extreme example. And I just don't think either one of those cases is similar to this. And what we do have that's similar to this is the Modern case, which is exactly on point. And we can argue, we can quibble about whether it's close or not, whether it's in or out. In this case, it's out.
You've cited to these cases concerning manholes and manhole covers. Our examples of a special defect are an excavation or an obstruction,
yes,
in a roadway. A manhole cover is not an excavation or an obstruction. The manhole is. Are there any cases that say a manhole cover not on the roadway is a special defect?
I am not aware of any case that says that. And the only, you know, again, I think the closest case is Modern, which says, you know, in Modern, they contrast it to the earlier case in Smoker and say that, you know, even though the manhole cover was there, that was a permanent condition and that it wasn't a special defect. The inlet itself, of course, is a permanent condition and would not be a special defect. I'm in agreement. And that kind of just leads us back to the statute itself, which says, you know, they provide us with these examples, and it says the government unit owes to the, special defects such as excavations or obstructions on highways, roads, or streets. So that's what the legislature has given us to work with. I understand your concern, and what I would say is this case will be tried no matter what the decision is. So we would ask that the special defect claim be dismissed and that the case be tried on the ordinary defect standard. Is there any other questions?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fugate. Mr. Williams?
May it please the court. This case is about a very narrow issue, and that's whether or not this defect was a special defect. And I think it's very important that we focus on the elements to get there and then see what the courts throughout the state, especially the Texas Supreme Court, has said and on these lines of cases. It's a defect that is an excavation or obstruction or within that class in a roadway that presents an unusual or unexpected danger to an ordinary user of the roadway. Now, the case law is clear that pedestrians can be ordinary users of the roadway. And whether it was a pedestrian or a motorist at the time that she was injured, I really don't think has any bearing, because if she is a pedestrian, she's within the class of an ordinary user. The Baining case has told us that the defect has to be in the same class as an excavation. And the Reyes case defined an excavation as a cavity, which is pretty broad, and the area in which it fell into was certainly an empty space that could be characterized as a cavity.
But are you really complaining about the manhole? You're complaining about the manhole cover, are you not?
Your Honor, I think we're looking at it as a unit. She would have fallen in it if there was no cover. She would have fallen in it with a cover that did not properly fit. The danger was the space beneath the stormwater inlet, and if you were going to encounter a defect that would lead you to fall into that space, then I think you're looking at it as a unit, not just the parts that were not functioning properly.
I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Mr. Fugate. Are you aware of any case that has held that a manhole cover not in a roadway is a special defect.
I'm aware of no such case, Your Honor. Now, we have had some appellate-level cases where the Madden case, as Mr. Fugate referred to, that involved a manhole cover that the plaintiff had slipped on. That was 5 feet off the roadway, and I believe the dispositive part of that case was that an ordinary user of the roadway would not have encountered it due to its distance.
Do you think that that was the determinative factor? And let's say that in that case, the manhole cover had been exactly where it is in this case. Do you think that the Houston court would have decided it differently?
I would hope so, Your Honor. I know that they took into account the longstanding condition. They believed that it was a longstanding condition due to the fact that the plaintiff in that case regularly walked up and down that street every day to work. So I believe that played a role. My reading of the case, I took away that pretty much the factor that was given the most weight was the lack of proximity to the roadway. It was far enough away that somebody would really have to divert their path of travel to encounter the defect.
Do you have a distance to suggest to us that we should adopt as some sort of, you know, like if it's within X number of feet, it can per se be a special defect or case by case? How you know, what should we tell litigants going forward?
And that's very tough, Your Honor. I think the smoker case with their rule of close proximity is probably going to encapsulate the issue best because it's like the strike zone. You know, balls or strikes, you know, kind of differ on the umpire, and it's hard to give a bright line unless you know you're physically putting up an area.
Of course, I guess the easy thing would be to do what Justice Willett suggested in the Bannon case, or however you pronounce that, and just say if it's past the curb, then you're out of luck. That would be easy.
That would be easy, but it would, I think, turn the statute on its head, and I think it would go beyond what the Texas legislature intended in passing this law. The Texas Supreme Court, on multiple opportunities, has had a chance to do just that, to say, we got to be within the lines for it to be a special defect. They have not done that, and in fact, Justice Hecht, or Chief Justice Hecht, then Justice Hecht, in the Payne case, essentially had the chance to disavow previous cases, appellate cases, where they had found that a special defect occurred outside of the roadway, outside of the lines, and he chose not to do so. The only cases that he determined were bad law in his footnote in that case were outside of the area where an ordinary user would encounter those defects. So I believe, based on Payne, based on Bayon, and based on Reyes, that the Texas Supreme Court has essentially hinted to us that a special defect can occur outside of the lines.
Well, didn't they say specifically in Bannon, we have not weighed in on that issue, whether it can be or it ever could be? I mean, they pretty well said, no, we're not holding that, and we haven't held it, didn't they?
You're correct, Your Honor, but in reading those lines of cases and reading Justice Hecht's opinion in Payne, he's referring to a pedestrian that is off the street but encountered a defect that was too far away from where an ordinary user would be if they encountered a defect. And so on multiple occasions, our highest court has had a chance to do what you were saying, Justice Kerr, and that is make it within the lines. But they have passed on each opportunity. They have not put that bullet into the issue. And so, you know, we believe from a jurisprudential standpoint that a ordinary user of the roadway, if the defect is within close proximity, is going to encounter the defect, and therefore it needs to be a special defect. You made the point earlier that somebody who's parallel parking on the curb and stepping out of the car is immediately going to encounter this defect. They're an ordinary user of the roadway at that point. In fact, they're a motorist. And that is an unusual an unexpected defect that could cause serious harm. And so if we did adopt that bright line rule of you got to be within the lines, are we telling the citizens of Texas that, well, if you're on the passenger side and you're parallel parking, you need to exit through the driver's side and possibly into oncoming traffic?
Well, it doesn't mean they don't have a cause of action. It just means they don't have a cause of action for a special defect.
You're right. Well, assuming that you can prove actual knowledge on a premises defect, which I would submit to you is difficult to do, the fact of the matter is that this is in close proximity, like what the smoker court said, and it's unusual and unexpected. And anybody who is an ordinary user, a pedestrian, a motorist, a mailman delivering the mail, they're gonna encounter this defect, and you know the fact that opposing counsel brought up that it was in broad daylight, and in their briefing it had noted that they'd been to that house on multiple occasions over a number of years. I think is kind of a red herring because she was just moving into this house. It's a latent defect of which she had no knowledge, and it was something that she was not going to see without closely inspecting it.
Well, and would you even, I mean, let's say it's broad daylight and she was looking at the manhole cover. I mean, was there anything about how it appeared that would suggest to her or anyone else, hey, I don't need to be stepping on this?
From her testimony, no, Your Honor. I will tell you when we went to inspect it, the manhole cover would sit on the lid. And it was not readily obvious unless you look closely, unless you stepped on it, that it was defective.
But apparently the neighbor had noticed that it was defective, correct?
The neighbor had noticed it. A neighbor had been living there for a very long time. He had notified the city that it needed to be replaced.
But no, his testimony was not so specific that we can really conclude that he was talking about that particular manhole cover, was it?
When I took his deposition, Your Honor, that was my distinct impression that he was talking about that very manhole cover.
But if that's the case, then would you be okay on your premises liability cause of action because the city would have had actual knowledge?
Well, the city disagrees with that point. And I think from a larger perspective, protecting the citizens of Arlington and the state as a whole, we need to hold the city to a higher standard when these sorts of things can be prevented, and the Supreme Court has not weighed in on the issue, but has at least impliedly said that a special defect can occur outside of the roadway, but if we limit that to the immediate vicinity, I think we're creating a good, understandable kind of zone of danger, if you will, that they need to be responsible for. I would add that if you were to accept the city's argument that because it didn't occur actually on the roadway, the city is, in effect, asking you to board the Starship Enterprise and go to where no court has ever gone before. Chief Justice Hecht has said that previous cases where there were special defects that occurred off the road are still good law. He had a chance to say they weren't, and he passed on that opportunity. We'd ask that the court affirm the trial court's ruling and so we can proceed on both causes of action and trial. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Mr. Fugate.
I have just a couple of quick follow-up points. Number one, it was Mr. Webb, the neighbor, who proved up this photo. And also, there's a Google photo in the record from 2012 that shows the lid was askew. The neighbor at least said it was obvious that the lid was askew. As to how long the plaintiff had been there, whether she had notice of it, her parents lived in this house for 17 to 18 years. And We, as the city, have tried to avoid this issue of notice. I believe that's a question for the jury. I don't think it's relevant in one way or the other here. There's one thing that I think is extremely important, and that is even if an ordinary user parked their car here, and even if we have this defect, and the ordinary user of the roadway gets out here, it doesn't block the entire roadway. That's an important factor that the Texas Supreme Court has laid out repeatedly.
Yes, but the Supreme Court has never made that the determinative factor.
Okay, the question the Supreme Court has not decided is whether a condition outside the roadway can or can never be a special defect. But what they have said repeatedly is that something to be in the nature of a special defect has to block the majority of the roadway such that a vehicle or motorist can't safely pass. That's not the case here. And so on that fact,
you're not arguing that a pedestrian is not to be considered here, are you?
Not arguing what?
That a pedestrian is not to be considered here?
No, I'm definitely not arguing that. What I am arguing is that a pedestrian can walk along the roadway safely and not encounter this, that a pedestrian can walk through here and simply step around this. This doesn't prevent a pedestrian, a bicyclist, a vehicle, or any other vehicle that could use this road, no matter what form they're coming in, from using this road. And so I'm trying to remember the name of the case, but one of the Texas Supreme Court cases, it may have been, you know, I think it was actually maybe the earliest Texas Supreme Court was 1978. I think it was County of Harris versus Eaton, and it's 573 Southwest 2nd 177. And it talks about a ditch across the road, and there have been other cases that have talked about. There was one case that involved a bicyclist, and the bicyclist hit a dip in the road and crashed, but the dip didn't block the entire roadway. And so I think that's something that we kind of maybe are missing, is that in order to be a special defect, it's got to prevent traffic, whether it's pedestrian or otherwise, from being able to use this roadway safely. That's just not the case here. And again, we're not arguing that this case shouldn't be tried as an ordinary defect. There's a couple other things I want to hit on real quick. I agree with something Burgess said, Mr. Williams said, that the strike zone, that there is a strike zone. And the umpire, when he's behind the plate, whatever the strike zone is, he has to call that strike zone. And so this is that case. And I think when I talked about this case had more meat to it than I realized, it's because the ball in this case is so close to the strike zone. And do you at some point have to do what Judge Willett suggested, where there's a bright line test, what the Supreme Court has alluded to? It's what makes this case hard, that seems like such a simple case, because this is the case where the defect is so close to the road. That's what makes this case hard. The last thing I want to touch on just real quickly is what every case that addresses governmental immunity tells us, is that in order for there to be a waiver of governmental immunity, the statute has to be clear and unambiguous. In this case, the fact that we're all talking about this demonstrates the ambiguous nature of this. The Texas Supreme Court has repeatedly asked the Texas legislature to do something about the Texas Tort Claims Act, and the legislature has repeatedly said this is our statute. And when Mr. Williams talked about policy, I believe Justice Willett and Justice Hecht have both said that's the legislature's province. It's the legislature's right to say if they want to change this rule or not. The plaintiff in this case is not denied a remedy, but the facts of this case, the ordinary user test, the fact that it's out of the road, all of these things weigh toward this being an ordinary defect and not a special defect. And that's what the city is asking, is that part of Judge Evans' opinion be reversed, this case be sent back to trial as an ordinary defect.
I have one follow-up question. You know, we've talked a lot about roadways today. Do any cases make a distinction as to whether the defect might be contained, as this one appears to be, within some kind of easement?
You know, the Modern case, again, that case, it was in city property. It was 5 feet from the roadway. I'm assuming the easement was 10 feet. And also the Bishop case in Big Springs, It doesn't tell us exactly where that water meter was, but it does say that it was in city property. So those are two cases.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fugate. Mr. Williams, everyone, we appreciate all of your briefing in this matter, and we also appreciate your arguments for today. Your case is now submitted, and you all are excused.